Good morning, family. I hope you all have enjoyed worship services today. I know that I have. I enjoyed singing that last song, especially as I read the lyrics to that song where it said, "Children, obey your father's blessed command," and I was bouncing my granddaughter on my knee, so I thought of the children that are in my life and how we are children of God. I want you to have your Bibles open this morning to a passage in the Bible that maybe it's been a while you've looked at, in Hebrews chapter 12. If you have your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 12, you can follow along with the lesson today, and there's also an outline in the bulletin as well. I haven't really decided how I'm going to say what I want to say right now, so it's just going to come straight from the heart. We all have personal experiences in our lives that tend to shape us and make us the person that we are, sometimes in a negative way, sometimes in a positive way. Maybe some of you have heard the story, for me personally, of my upbringing as a child. When I was about a year and a half old, I think it was, somewhere in there, my father left and my parents divorced, and I was raised for the first few years after that by just my mom, and then eventually she got married again and I had a stepfather. But one of the ways in which that shaped me was not having a father. And by the way, later on when I would have a stepfather, he wasn't a very good father at all. I probably would have been better off maybe without one. But anyway, you know, that was a traumatic experience. And some of you can relate to that. Some of you men or young ladies, that when you were raised, maybe you were without a parent. And one of the things that touched me with that is the fact that as I got into my teenage years and even after that, there was this thing in my heart that we're looking at here on the screen called bitterness. There was a bitterness that I had toward my father, my biological father, not the one that raised me, but the one that brought me into the world. And I carried that with me a lot in life. And even after I became a Christian, it was something that was a scar on my life. It was something that was a tough pill to swallow. And, you know, it probably only isn't until just recently, maybe in the last, 8 or 9 years, that I have gotten a lot better handle on it. And one of the things that was always a great comfort to me is that I knew that, above all, that I had an amazing Heavenly Father. And that carried me through some of those years. But it was still an issue of carrying bitterness with me. And I want to talk about this today. I think it's something that we need to come to terms with as we struggle in life. I think we all have some unfair things that happen to us, and that's really a part of life. We can choose to be bitter, or we can choose to be better. We can choose to hold on to the pain, or we can choose to let go of it and let God make it up to us. I've heard, in fact, that 80% of people today are angry at something or someone. But people who harbor anger in their hearts, they poison their own lives. They really don't hurt the one that they're angry at. Rather, instead, you know, they only end up hurting themselves. The reality is that I think anger is punishment that you inflict on yourself for a mistake that someone made against you. I want us to look at this passage here in Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll just read two verses here, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, "Pursue peace with all men and holiness." He says, "For without it, no one will see the Lord." He says, "Look diligently so that no one falls short of the grace of God. And no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And by this, many become defiled." Bitterness is the inability to adjust emotionally to unexpected displeasure. you're going to have displeasure in life. Some of those moments of displeasure are going to be unexpected. And we are asked to make a mental, emotional, physical adjustment to those experiences. And really the only way to adequately do that would be with the help of God. But maybe it was a cutting remark that someone made about you. Or maybe it was an act of betrayal. Maybe it was some gossip that someone spread about you. A lie that they told to you or told about you. And the anger is there. But the key is, don't let that anger become a root that springs up in your life. Don't let that bitterness take root. That is what we're being admonished in this passage to do. To not let this bitterness take root in your life. And so something happened to you when you were younger. Somebody mistreated you. Someone took advantage of you. Maybe someone cheated you out of a promotion. Whatever it is, something was done against you. And so you are right to be displeased about that, but not bitter. The Christian is supposed to deal with that anger in a way that it doesn't become a root of bitterness that springs up in our lives. It is impossible to go through life without experiencing some displeasure. And bitterness, I mean, it hits everybody, everywhere, at all times. There are people that are bitter everywhere. Bitter people in hospitals, bitter people in nursing homes, bitter people in jails and in offices and in schools. There are even bitter people in churches just like this. It is something that affects all of us, and we need to deal with it. And I hope we will in this lesson this morning. It's impossible to live life without being offended by someone, about something at some time in our lives. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, He says, it is impossible that offenses should not come. Offenses will come in our lives. So what we need to do is make sure that they don't become a root in our lives that spring up and cause trouble for us personally, and then we spread that damage and trouble to others around us. It defiles us. Now, here's the thing. Do you know that you can't see a root? A root is underneath the ground. Maybe sometimes far beneath the ground, unless you're in my backyard where they come up above the ground. But most of the time, roots are beneath the ground. They're deep under the ground. But that root, what's going to happen is that root, that bitter root, will produce bitter fruit. So you need to really be careful with what is going on underneath the soil of your heart. I want us to look at this passage this morning, and I want you to think about whatever little root might be in your life, some root of bitterness that is inside of you, and I'm going to warn you that it's going to show up sometime on the outside. It's going to show up. It's going to affect, and sometimes it affects your entire life. The bitterness is buried in your heart. It is sometimes a resentment that causes you many times to live in defeat. You can't have victory. You can't have contentment. You can't get along with others. You can't be happy in your life. And you don't realize it, but it is something in your heart that has poisoned you. Yes, it is a heart issue. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. And so you can't have something in your heart, some root, that won't affect the fruit eventually, that it's going to affect the issues of your life. If you have bitterness in your heart, it's going to end up contaminating everything that comes out of you. It will contaminate your personality. It will contaminate your attitude. It will contaminate the way that you treat others. It will contaminate your very body language, the way that you carry yourself. It will contaminate some people in the form of putting a frown on their face continually as they walk around. Do you know, do you ever see some people in your life that seem to always walk around with a scowl? I would say that's just the fruit. That there's actually a root in that, somewhere in their heart. And I think we need to be careful that we deal with the heart so that we deal with eventually the fruit that will come. But some people will focus on their bad habits. They'll focus on their negative personality, their smile, whatever it is, and they'll try to deal with those things. They're just dealing with the fruit, trying to change the outside. But unless you get to the root, you cannot change the fruit. As long as that bitter root is growing inside of you, then your problems will keep popping up all over again and again. And so what we want to do today, as we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, what I want to do is look at two very simple points. They're in your outline. We're going to be talking about the caution, and we're going to be talking about the cure when it comes to bitterness. The caution is something that we're going to cover very quickly here in our text here in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll spend the whole time in just these two verses right here. We're going to look first of all at the caution, and it's very clear. He says there, pursue peace with all men and holiness. And here's the warning. He says, for without it, he says, no one will see the Lord. Now listen, I want to tell you right now, any child of God right now should be a little bit alarmed about that. We should be looking at this verse. If we're taking it seriously, we're going to be looking at it and say, wow, wait a minute. Here's something I don't want to happen to me. I want to see the Lord. He says, if you don't deal with this, you're not going to see the Lord. If you're not seeking peace, if you're not seeking holiness, he says, you will not see the Lord. So the caution is about not seeing God is a warning about seeing God both now and also in eternity. Now we know that the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 18 that no man has seen God at any time. But Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. And in the next verse in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 9, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I want a pure heart. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to see God. I want to be called a son of God. I want that blessedness in my life today. Now, how do the pure in heart see God? Well, guess what? If we're looking for God, we'll see God. If we're looking for God, for instance, in creation, we will see God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament display His handiwork. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1. Paul the Apostle tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, for His invisible attributes are clearly seen by us. Those who are seeing and seeking God, they will see God. His invisible attributes are clearly seen. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, this says that as God's children, we will see Him as He is when He is revealed to us one day in heaven. So yeah, we'll see Him again, ultimately, in all of His essence, in eternity. But we see glimpses of Him now, even on this side of the clouds. But we're only going to see Him in these ways, as it says here, if we are pure in heart, if we pursue peace with all men, removing whatever bitterness may be in our lives. Now here's our second caution. If that one didn't get you, this one surely will as well. We won't see God. That's the first caution. If we're not seeking peace with others, he says here that we fall short of the grace of God. This means that you will be out of favor with God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14? He said, for if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. See, forgiveness and grace are one and the same. You won't get God's grace that takes away your sin if you're not one who would try to seek reconciliation, be at peace with, and forgive those around you. Now think about it. Without God's grace and without His forgiveness, you cannot be saved. So this is absolutely crucial. There's no option in this. If we want God's grace, we have to be a people who deal with our bitterness and forgive others. And then thirdly, here's another caution here. Another caution given to us right here in the text at the end there is, it says that a bitterness will spring up, and he says, causes trouble. He says, and by this many become defiled. So, when you have bitterness in your heart, you know it's hard to keep it to yourself. You're going to spread it toward others. You will cause trouble and you will have trouble. You will spread the defilement. And years ago, there was a terrible attack, an outbreak of a disease in a tiny village in a remote little part of Africa. And both the children and the adults were getting sick. Many of them were started to die, and so experts were sent in to figure out what the problem was. The village got its water supply from a mountain stream that was fed by a spring, and the experts couldn't see the problem until they decided to send divers deep down into the water. And they looked and looked, and they found a large mother pig and its babies wedged right in at the opening of that spring. And the water was being contaminated as it flowed by the decomposed remains of those pigs that were there, thus poisoning the water and the people in the village. And in our lives, the very same, very similar thing takes place in our lives. Bad things happen to us, and we let those poisonous pigs poison our hearts and contaminate us and defile us and make us bitter. Even worse, after a while, guess what? We start to accept it. We start to make room for the bitterness. We start to be okay with it and live with it and tolerate it. And when we do that, we just say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't help it. I mean, I've been dealt a rough deck, you know, and I'm trying to do the best that I can, and I'm just this bitter person. No, that's not true. That's not the way God created you. Not at all. He created you to be a person of positivity. He created you to be His child, one who would exude joy and love others and care for others and not want what's bad for others, as the defilement would spread if we continue to carry this bitterness. God doesn't want us to be that way at all. And so, what you need to do is, it's very simple. Repent. Change. Get rid of the root. You get rid of the root, you're going to change the fruit. It's that simple. You need to get right to the heart of the issue. So now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the cure. You need to pray like David. I love this prayer. I ought to read it sometime. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 23, David says, "Search my heart, O Lord, and know my troubled thoughts." Have you ever had troubled thoughts before? Guess what? If you let those troubled thoughts swim around in your head long enough and get to your heart, they cause a root of bitterness. And David is praying to God, and he says, "Search my heart, Lord. Deal with my troubled thoughts. Know them." Ask God to remove that root of bitterness contaminating your life, and your heart will be pure again, and God will set you free. And that's really what we need. So let's talk about the cure now. The cure right here is in the text. It tells us three things that we need to do. First of all, he says at the very onset, the very first part of the verse, verse 14, he says you need to pursue peace. And I love that word pursue, because it doesn't mean just kind of, you know, play with the idea a little bit. Pursue means to really go after it. And if that's not enough, he goes on to say, look at the text there, he says, look diligently. See, the devil doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to take a casual approach and just kind of say, well, you know what, I'm kind of down on myself for feeling bitter, but, you know, eventually it'll just go away. No, he says, pursue that peace. He says, look for it diligently. And so, from that, I get that God is telling us that you need to do your part. Now forget about the other person that's at odds with you, that's causing you that bitterness or whatever it is. That person may never come to you. The initiative is on you. As we read earlier in the scripture reading in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's our responsibility. No matter what you need to do as a child of God, hopefully the more mature one, is you need to be the initiator. You need to be the one that goes after and looks diligently to make reconciliation with others. You know, I find it interesting that one time in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus one time said that if you're upset with someone, he said reconciliation is more important than even your worship of God. And he says, if you've got a problem with someone, leave your gift at the altar and go and seek reconciliation. You see how important that is? Before you can have the kind of proper relationship you should have with God, you need to be, as much as possible, as depends on you, you need to be at peace with others. That's what God wants you to do. That's how important this is. And some of you are angry with someone right now in your life. They did something that you don't like. You've got a history with them, and maybe you're ignoring them, and maybe if it's a office worker, you're just avoiding them, you don't want to talk to them, you don't want to deal with it, you'll just do the bare minimum to, you know, a greeting, hi, bye, whatever, but there's bitterness in your heart, you're having an issue with that person, maybe you're avoiding that person, you need to get rid of that root. You need to get rid of it and seek reconciliation. You need to be the initiator and go and seek reconciliation. The next thing I want to share with you is, and this is right here in the text again, seek reconciliation is the first thing. Number two, he goes on to say, look diligently, he says, so that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. Now, with this, I see this good old fashion pity party that we sometimes throw when we don't get things to go our way. When we're upset with someone, we kind of swim in our own misery. We get all bent out of shape about it. We have this pity party. In 1973, there was Rudy Tomjanovich was a 25-year-old basketball player for the Houston Rockets. He later became their coach, but he was in a game in 1973, and there was a fight that broke out. And Rudy rushed over to break up the fight, and there was another player in the midst of that scuffle that just swung as hard as he could, and boy, that punch landed right on Rudy's face, fracturing his skull, breaking his nose, breaking his cheekbones, nearly killing him. And Rudy, as a 25-year-old, took several months to recover. He had to not play basketball for a while, and eventually he did recover. And after he did, a reporter one time came to him and asked him, he said, have you ever forgiven that player that did that to you? And Rudy said, absolutely. He said, I've totally forgiven him. The reporter shook his head. He said, come on, Rudy. Listen, that player, you imagine what he did to you? He almost killed you. I mean, he almost ruined your career. He certainly put you out of a paycheck for a while. You were sitting on the sidelines. And how could you forgive that man? And Rudy said, I knew that if I wanted to move on with my life, he said, I had to let it go. And he said, I didn't do it for him. I did it for me so I could be free. And that's what we do. We set ourselves free. As I said before, the root of bitterness springs up. It causes trouble in your life as well as in the lives of others. And what happens is we end up being incarcerated with the shackles of defilement, and we imprison, really not someone else, we imprison ourselves instead. And the worst part of a pity party is, do you know that when you throw a pity party, few people are going to join you? Nobody likes to be around misery, right? They might, you know, put a little pat on the back and walk away, but they don't want to be there too long. So you're going to be really alone in that pity party. So you need to uninvite yourself from the party, Own your feelings of anger and decide to put them away. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31 and 32, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger be put away from you. Forgive others as Christ forgave you." We're commanded to do that as children of God. Stop the pity party. As you already know, you forgive others not just for your own benefit, but for your their benefit, but for yours as well. And then finally, here's another cure for this bitterness in our lives. Seek reconciliation. Stop throwing the pity party. And then number three, it's going to sound a little strange to you, submit to God's sovereignty. You see that really at the first part of this verse. He says, pursue peace with all men and holiness. He says, for without it, no one will see the Lord. So there's something very important that we need to remember here. The people or problems that hurt you or upset you, guess what? They're still under God's control. Is that all right? I know it seems like things are out of control. Things aren't going the way you want them to. They were mean to you. They were bitter. They were harsh toward you. And it looked like, but guess what? They're still under God's control. Nothing happens to you in life without God's permission. That person or situation is not in control. God is in control. Read again that phrase here in verse 14 of chapter 12 in Hebrews. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see God. When you allow that person or that problem to get in the way of your holiness, you can't see God. You can't see His sovereignty. You can't see that He's still in control. You can't control the one who's making you angry and what's making you angry, but you can control your reaction to it. And so instead of trying to strong arm the situation and do something that will change the environment or whatever it is, put it in God's hands. Isn't that what we saw in the scripture reading earlier in Romans chapter 12? Verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men, but don't take revenge into your own hands. Rather, give it over to God. Why do you need to put it in God's hands? Guess why? You're not equipped to deal with judgment. You're either too soft or too hard when someone does something wrong. God knows how to give out judgment. He knows how to give out punishment. He knows how to do it. Just put wrath and anger and all the payment that goes into it, put it into God's hands. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So stop trying to control how others get punished and let God do the punishing. Really, that's what we need to do. Now, the question as we close this morning is simply this. Will you allow bitterness to destroy you? You may be today at a crossroads in your life. You may be dealing with an issue. Maybe it's even a spouse. Maybe it's a close friend, whatever that you're dealing with. Someone that you need to forgive. And you can go one of two ways. You can choose to be bitter, or you can choose to be better. You can ignore God's word and let the bitterness have a root in your life, causing you trouble, defiling others, defiling yourself, or you can get it out in the open and give it to God in prayer and ask Him to help you, because you're going to need help to do this, help you forgive that person and remove the bitter root that's in the soil of your heart this morning. And maybe you're saying, oh, Brother Rowe, you just don't understand. You don't understand what that other person did to me. You don't understand how much it hurt. You know what? You're right. I don't understand. But God knows, He knows, and He can sort it out, and He can help you deal with the bitterness. So don't be hard-hearted. Don't miss out on God's best for you. Rather, instead, change. I'm going to close this morning with an old, old story. Maybe you've heard it before. But the story is told of a captain out at sea. And he's in a battleship. And there's a little bit of a storm, and it's dark, and he doesn't know. He's lost direction a little bit. He's trying to find out where he's going, and there's a light that he sees. And he knows that as he sees this light out on the ocean and it's dark and he can't see it, he knows that there is a sure collision that's about to take place. So he immediately rushes to his radio and he gets on the radio and he says to the one that is coming up, he says, I'm a captain and I'm in a battleship, and he says, we're about ready to crash. He says, turn 10 degrees to the east. So he waits and he gets a message back from that light. And the other end of the radio, the other end says, I cannot change 10 degrees to the east. He says, you change course 10 degrees to the west. Wow, he's surprised. He gets back on, he's angry, and he says, listen, he says, I'm a captain, and I order you to change course. The voice on the other end says, I'm a second-class seaman, and I can't change course. He gets back on the radio again and he says, listen, he says, this is the captain and I'm a battleship. And the voice on the other end says, I'm a lighthouse. Make your choice. And I'm asking you to make your choice today. I'm asking you to choose to be better and not bitter. To turn it over to God. When you harbor bitterness in your heart, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for a crash. You're headed for the rocks. And God wants you to change course. And so stop letting bitterness continue to poison your life. Rather, instead, lay that bitterness down. Lay that heavy burden that you were not intended to carry, and let God's broad shoulders carry it for you. Let Him make it up to you. If sin is in your life this morning and you haven't made an initial decision to come to Jesus Christ for salvation, believe that He's God's Son today. Believe that He died for you and rose again. And today, repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you can be born again. And you can have joy in your heart and the hope of heaven. If you're here this morning as a Christian and you've turned away from the Lord, change course today. Come to Him as we stand to sing.